Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, can we get a sick beat here?
I have a Patreon. Patreon.com/MatthewDong. There you can find bonus content from a podcast. Both the right weights for paleobites. We discuss pop culture for two prehistoric animals. And this month, we're talking about 10,000 BC. 10,000 BC. Yes, the World Network film. It's great. Everyone hates it, but we love it. It's about cavemen. The mammoths. Building pyramids. Link is in the description. Thank you for your support. Have a wonderful day. Sort of like a freelance alternative style beatboxing sort of thing. Yeah, this was totally worth the 20 minutes of edit time it took. Totally worth it.
Roar. Growl. Snarl. Bellow.
Welcome to Paleobites, the podcast with as much teeth as Oviraptor.
Wait, what?
My name's Matthew Donald, and each week I and a rotating series of guest co-hosts talk about and rate a genus of prehistoric animal, be it dinosaur, mammal, arthropod, and so on. I like how I fooled you there for a second.
You did. I was like, wait a minute, I had to think about it.
The show is toothless.
Well, the animal we're talking about today has a beak like Oviraptor.
Yes, and it has some teeth. But anyways, this week I'm joined by Stephen Curro, though. How are you?
Oh, I am well, thank you.
Ah, good to know. I like how you slammed the hand sanitizer, like, I am well!
Yes, I am here, damn it.
Yes, it's like a gavel. Just, I am here, I'm ready to talk about some dinosaurs. I like how I use dinosaurs as just a catch-all of all the creatures. Even though, like, we've talked about two creatures so far in this set, and neither of them have been dinosaurs.
True. One was a canine, and one was a
stem arthropod.
Yes.
I like to mix it up, though. Like, I try to use some creatures as well.
Well, of course. That's what, you know, paleontology is so incredibly diverse.
It is. And I'm going to talk about some interesting stuff here, including some, there's a lost continent of dinosaur times back then that, like, I mean, we know exactly where it was, but we just don't know what was on it because of bad sediments. You ever heard of Appalachia?
Appalachia.
So, you know how...
Not related to the Appalachian Mountains.
It is close to... Okay, so, you know, back in the Cretaceous period, the North America was divided by the Great Interior Seaway?
Yes.
Almost all of our fossils are from the Western continent, Laramidia. Appalachia is terrible at fossils. Like, it doesn't have the right sediments. It's a lot of erosion.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah, so we only have very, very few fossils there. And the ones we do have are very intriguing. I'll get to some of them here. So
who knows what didn't get fossilized?
Yeah. Oh, everything. So many things didn't get fossilized. In fact, the majority, someone brought this up that was made me really sad. Like, sometimes I'm like, oh, yeah, well, there's so many dinosaurs that we'll never know about. It's actually the vast, vast majority we will not know about. Mm-hmm. Because animals in jungles or tropical rainforests almost never fossilize. Now, what do you think most of the environment was back then?
A lot of it was jungle.
Yes, so...
That's unfortunate.
Sad day. There's so many we'll never know about. We go back in time, like, wait, what's that? What's that? What's that? What's that? Oh, there's something familiar. Wait, what's that? What's that? It'd be kind of cool, but again, only as long as we are looking through it, not interacting. Keep the paradoxes to a minimum.
Oh, I hate paradoxes. Well, they're fun to...
I like how you said, I hate paradoxes. It's like, I hate bugs. I hate cold temperatures. Like, I hate paradoxes.
Oh, I mean, they're fun. They're fun to think about, but they hurt my head, and I would not want to be in one in real
life.
What?
What always hurts my head about time travel? Again, I guess no dinosaur really a question this week. We're talking about this instead. You know how, like in Back to the Future or something, you know, like when you go back in time and like you something you do makes you interact with a past self of you, and that past self interacts back. I'm like, who is that past self? Because you are the one interacting.
It's also you.
But it's not you because you were there and you didn't do that.
Until you change the timeline by talking to
yourself. But then who's doing that?
You.
It's like in Back to the Future Part 2, you know, where like they're sneaking around in 1955 again, and those goons of Biff's see Marty on the stage playing Johnny B. Goode, and so the other Marty has to climb off and stop them.
Right.
And so, but then he knocks out the goons, and then later on you see the Marty who just played Johnny B. Goode look at the goons, and be like, what is that? And then move on. I'm like, who's doing that?
did you see that movie Looper?
I refuse to because It looks, I mean, not because of anything, like anything against any of the one who created it. It's just because like time travel like that, because
it hurts your head. Well, okay. So, you know, the basic premise.
Yes. Bruce Willis and, what's the guy's name?
Basically in the future.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Right. Basically, there's this whole syndicate where gangsters in the future will send someone they want to be killed into the past. And then they have a person who's a looper kill that person. And then when your contract is up, they will find you in the future, send you back. Your past self will kill your future self.
What?
And then you have 30 years or however long it is before the people in the future find you, send you back to be shot. So they show how this character...
That's getting into stable time loop stuff.
He shoots his future self, who's Bruce Willis. And then you show how he ages and becomes Bruce Willis. And then he consciously decides, screw it, I'm not going to go along with the timeline. So when
that's the thing.
When he goes back, instead of being shot, he runs off, and then all this other crazy
That's the
stuff
thing
happens.
With stable time loops always confuse me. It's like in Harry Potter, you know, where like they use the time turner. Before he used the time turner, like they're being threatened by those Dementors, but then he sees what he thinks is his father and the Patronus performing the Expecto Patronum or whatever.
Yes.
And then when he goes back in time, he later finds out it was him that was doing it. What if he was like, oh, it's me? Not going to do it.
But that's the thing. He didn't see it was him. It's not like...
It's like I think he realized it was him. He was at least in the movie. I don't know if it was in the book, but in the movie
that was the book too.
But in the movie, he was like, "Don't worry, my dad will come." But then he's like, "Wait a minute, no, I have to do it." What if when he realized that I have to do it, he was like, "I'm not gonna do it. My dad's gonna come," and then it passes, and it's like,
"Oh, so you mean what if he didn't? He didn't realize, and then he gets killed."
Yeah.
Well, I guess he did.
It's like the stable time. That also is also confusing. It's like, you ever heard of Milo Murphy's Law? It's this cartoon show, the creators of Phineas and Ferb. So there's a lot of time travel in it and other stuff. And so at one point, like, they're in this, like, bad future where pistachio plants have taken over. Long story.
Pistachio
plants. Living pistachio plants have taken over. And
oh my
god. They're walking, and then a peach gets thrown at them. And then they look at that. It's like, oh, wait, what's that peach doing here? Oh, look, there's pistachio plants over there. We got to hide. Oh, the peach person warned us. And, like, so there's these two guys. One of them, he takes the peach, and then he puts it in his pocket. And then they do some other stuff, and then they time travel back to 10 minutes earlier to this place. And they're like, oh, look, there's us down there. Oh, no, they're walking into the trap of the pistachio plants. Here, let me throw this peach at them. And then finally when he does this, like, wait a minute, where'd you get the peach? He's like, I gave it to you. But what did I do with the peach? You threw it at yourself. Where'd I get the peach? I gave it to you. Where'd you get the peach? I gave it. It's just like where'd the peach come from?
That's true. Some paradoxes are like that, where, like, no one knows where it actually started.
Where was the origin point of this peach?
Oh, I have to watch it.
We're talking about Chasmosaurus.
Yes, anyway.
It means gulfed lizard. Like my brain right now. It's just gulfed. And again, also the etymology of the word chasm. So, like a ravine.
I feel like my head fell down a chasm a second ago.
My head is a chasm. It's like, I mean, there, I guess it already is. It's left brain and right brain. It's just fully on separated. Just right. Just a chasm between the two. Type it as a chasmosaurian ceratopsid. The group of horned dinosaurs also includes triceratops, because there's two major groups of ceratopsians, at least of the more advanced ones. You got the chasmosaurians and the centrosaurians. So, centrosaurians, the ones like Styracosaurus, and like the ones with more elaborate kind of horns. They also have to have shorter frills. Although, funny thing I found out, centrosaurine means spiked lizard, right? Centrosaurus means spiked lizard.
Oh, okay.
Kentrosaurus also means spiked lizard. They're the same thing, but just one's with a C and one's with a K.
Two completely different words that happen to mean the same thing?
No, they're the same. It's the same word. Like, I'm just call this one Kentrosaurus with a K, but I'm going to call this one Centrosaurus with a C.
Is one of them Greek and one of them Latin?
I don't know. Also confusing, Styracosaurus also means spiked lizard. There's three different spiked lizards.
Speaking of paradoxes.
Anyways, Chasmosaurus is 14 to 16 feet / 4.3 to 4.9 meters long, 1.5 to 2 tons, diet herbivore. Time, Late Cretaceous, 77 to 76 million years ago. Location, Alberta, Canada. Like, again, great deposits there. And Lermidia. It was described in 1914, so I guess that's what triggered the war.
So it wasn't
the assassination of
the Archduke.
It was the discovery of Chasmosaurus. It's like, no, this is my discovery. No, this is my discovery. Archduke, that's not your discovery. Bang! Like, I don't care that didn't happen in Alberta. It happened like in Bosnia or something.
Hungary, I think.
Hungary.
Was it? Austria-Hungary?
There's a line in my upcoming Testonauts books, or it's already up at this point, I don't know, where it's like a French battalion from the American battalion fights German soldiers in Russian territory because an Austrian killed a Croatian in Bosnia.
Yes, yes, I remember.
It's just like, it's a mess.
It's a big mess.
It's just a big dick measuring contest between all the European powers. And it's just... Anyways...
Back to the Canadian dinosaurs.
Yes. Pop culture appearances. Quite a few more than I initially thought. Its first appearance was probably in Fantasia, where it's briefly seen in one shot where the Stegosaurus and Tyrannosaurus are fighting. From then on, it's in the 1970 film When Dinosaurs Ruled the Earth. It's in Calvin and Hobbes, where it's preyed on by T-Rexes and F-14 fighter jets. It's in The Land Before Time 3, apparently.
Really?
The Time of the Great Giving. The Dinotopia miniseries has a baby named 26, which is also mislabeled as a Hadrosaur, as we mentioned earlier.
Bothered me.
Yeah.
Still bothers me.
I mean, it's clearly not. I mean, in the show, it's like, it's a Chasmosaurus, and it looks like a horned dinosaur. Like, you're two for two. Oh, it's a Hadrosaur. Ah. Didn't stick the
so
landing.
Okay.
You mentioned it's on this thing called Prehysteria. It's a dinosaur comedy or something.
It's an old kids movie from the I think the 90s or the 80s where
stop motion dinosaurs, I'm assuming, or
stop motion and little animatronics.
Okay.
So basically there's this in South America there's this shrine and this temple.
So it's not about cave people.
No.
Okay.
But yeah, basically this jerk goes on a safari. He goes on an expedition in the Amazon, and he finds this ancient shrine where there are little dinosaur eggs that have been, you know, just revered for ages, and they're on ice, so they're hibernating. But of course, he steals them.
Oh, okay.
And one thing leads to another, and the eggs wind up at these kids' house. And the eggs are, like, I forget the term they use, reverse engineered or something. They're really small. So, okay. Like, you have a mini Brachiosaurus.
That's adorable. It's like
in
Spy
really
Kids
cute.
2.
And they're all named after pop and rock stars. So the Chasmosaurus is named Hammer after MC Hammer.
Oh, okay.
And then the Brachiosaurus is Paula after Paula Abdul. The Pteranodon is Madonna.
Okay.
Elvis is the T-Rex, you know. Mm-hmm.
Oh, not the Cryolophosaurus, which wasn't discovered yet, so of course it wasn't.
And Stegosaurus was Jagger from Mick Jagger.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, you know, it's just good fun. And Chasmosaurus, that was like one of my first.
Good on them for using Chasmosaurus rather than Triceratops.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But also it's in Power Rangers Dino Thunder. It's in Planet Dinosaur, not to be confused with Dinosaur Planet, the Dinosaur King trading card game, and Jurassic World Evolution. Not bad for a dinosaur most average schmucks don't know a thing about.
Exactly.
So in the late Cretaceous, there were specific dinosaur families that dominate specific parts of the globe. While the continents are basically in their current positions relatively, give or take 1,000 or so miles, there are still clear distinctions between the two supercontinents in terms of zoological occupancy. These are called biogeographical realms, by the way. And the Laurasian and Gondwanian biogeographic realms are quite distinct. In Gondwanian Cretaceous, the sauropods were still the main herbivores. They never lost their dominance they had got in the Jurassic. Several species of ornithopods like Oronosaurus and Lurdosaurus managed to sneak into their herbivore menagerie down there. But mostly it was sauropods and sauropod relatives. In Laurasian Cretaceous, though, the Ornithischians flourished.
I don't like that word
either. Yeah, the bird-hipped ones. The ones that didn't evolve into birds, though. Those were the lizard-hipped ones. Get it right.
That's so ridiculous.
Okay. And also, that means technically nowadays, birds are still considered theropod dinosaurs. They're still considered saurischians. Lizard-hipped.
No! More paradoxes.
It's just dumb more than a paradox. There's many groups specific to northern continents with little to no representation further south, and one such group was the Ceratopsians, also known as the horned dinosaurs, which seem to be found only in North America, Asia, and Europe, mainly the former two. Mm. There have been some possible remains of some Gondwanian Ceratopsians, such as the Australian Serendipoceratops, which also could have been an ankylosaur, it's very fragmentary remains. And Argentinian Notoceratops, which is known only from a single toothless jaw that has since been lost.
No!
So...
was it in that Brazilian...
I guess it was.
All museum that was destroyed?
Because all I read was that it had been lost. That wouldn't make sense. Yeah, it was there. It's like that museum in Germany, in Munich, with the Carcharodontosaurus and Spinosaurus.
Bombed in World War II.
Speaking of wars, man, we're talking about another world war.
Oh, my goodness.
As cool as it would have been to imagine some ceratopsians in Africa avoiding Carcharodontosaurus or any Indian ceratopsians fighting off Rajasaurus, it seems like this family was locked to a specific part of the globe, specifically North America, or mainly North America. There's been a few others. I mean, again, like Protoceratops and the other Proceratopsians.
Right.
From Asia as well. But then there's also Sinoceratops, which is from China, like the name. So there's a few others. And again, back then, Asia and Russia were definitely linked. So that's why there was T-Rex and Tarbosaurus. One in Asia, one in Africa. Yes, you're reading your book. And what is that book, by the way?
So, yes, I have the Princeton Field Guide to Dinosaurs. This is the edition that came out in 2010. So it's a little dated. But
yes,
it's still got some good information.
Yes.
And, I'm just looking here because there are 5 species of Chasmosaur.
Yes, and some of them might have become other species. Other species might have become Chasmosaurus. It's confusing because there's a bunch of others that I'll get into here in a sec. So not only were these mainly North America, they also seem to mainly be in the subcontinent known as Laramidia. So as I mentioned, Appalachia, the eastern subcontinent, remains rather mysterious as its high levels of erosion and lack of terrestrial sediments we've got means very little fossils are from that part of the continent. What we have found, though, is interesting. There is a hadrosaur from over there called Hypsibema, known from only a few bones, that, if estimates are to be believed, might have rivaled Shungtungosaurus in size and been upwards of 50 feet long.
Ooh.
Appalachia's a freaking tease. The lost continent of dinosaur times. I mean, there's a reason why you don't go to Pennsylvania and find dinosaur fossils or, like, North Carolina. Apparently some of the governments there are trying. Like, I think it was Virginia or Georgia or some eastern state, they found a fossil and they're damn proud of it. They should be this is not Alberta where there's just fossils every time you stub a toe. But
as I understand, Dilophosaurus is the state dinosaur of Connecticut, and they have a footprint.
Really? That's interesting, because it was mainly found in Arizona.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I guess it's a Jurassic dinosaur.
But again, I guess keep in mind there, also, you're limited in what you can find. So you take whatever you can get. Is this a footprint? We'll take it.
Yep, close enough.
Yeah, so I think it'd be cool to, like, because there's a few we found from them. There probably were ceratopsians there. We just don't know. Like, the fossils there are so limited. Apparently, like, the way the Western Interior Seaway, like, the way it moved, like, the sediments, it really allowed it on the western coast. It allowed fossils there to really flourish. Mm-hmm. And so many of the fossils we found on the eastern, the Appalachia, are actually corpses that were
Washed away.
So there's not really any other place for it to have been fossilized. Because there could have been fossilized, but again, so much erosion over there means that it would have been lost by this time. Because again, fossils are rock. They're just rock at this point.
Yep.
So
they're at the mercy of weathering and
mm-hmm.
all that jazz.
Yep. So, because bone decays. That's why we have fossils. If it was just bones on its own, not all bones fossilize. They will decay unless they become fossilized and become rock. But Loramidius chuckfolceratopsians, one of those is Chasmosaurus, the gulf lizard, named such because of the two giant holes in the frill of the skull called the fenestrae, if you want to get technical, which I don't. So those head-opening thingies, are seem to be common in the family, though, in order to keep the skull light enough for it to hold its massive head up. Some have even depicted ceratopsians having those holes visible in the frill in real life, like the Sinoceratops in Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. That's probably unlikely to have been the case, but then again, who knows, really? None of us saw any of these alive, and we never will, so suck it up, paleo purists. Like all those people that are like, oh, well, that's not accurate. Like, we don't know.
No, we really don't know.
We don't know.
No.
It's just such a weird thing to be, but like, the amount of gatekeeping I see in the paleontological community is really sad, honestly.
Oh, my gosh.
Like,
people are so picky. I mean, yes, there are some things that clearly are not accurate. For example, Chasmosaurus is not a hadrosaur.
Yes. Oh, end that's, of story. Things like
but,
that. Yes.
But when it comes to, you know, little things about how the anatomy looks.
Yeah.
Come on. How many?
Particularly how the anatomy looks in the living animal, like in terms of like fenestrae being visible in the living animal. We don't know.
And I mean, heck, for years, we haven't known what most of their colors are.
No, we're only just starting to find a few of them.
Right, and it's only if they have feathers. So,
yes,
you know.
It's true.
Something like a chasmosaur, unfortunately, we don't know. And it's your guess is as good as mine. Was it black? Was it green? Was it pink with purple polka dots?
Presumably not that because of camouflage, but...
Oh, okay, fine.
But... It could have been. That's it could have been lot. Muted.
There you go.
Could have been muted purple with pink polka dots.
So, it's logical.
Yeah. Chasmosaurus, a lot of species in this genus, as you were saying, that have been reassigned to other species and are generally debated as to what their taxonomical definition really is. Species of Chasmosaurus have been reassigned to Eoceratops, Utahceratops, Cosmoceratops. Yes, with a K. Mojoceratops, Austin Powers' favorite dinosaur, and possibly Vegaceratops, although that last one's still disputed whether or not it's its own species.
Mm.
And so all those ones you found there, either they've been... Some of these might have been reassigned to those, or maybe they have been reassigned from those to these. I don't know.
In this book, we have...
Do you have Mojoceratops?
I'll have to look. I have Chasmosaurus russelli.
I did not look and see what the species names of these are. I didn't have them written down here. I wasn't that detailed.
But I mean, that's all I have here. Just Chasmosaurus russelli, Chasmosaurus belly.
Chasmosaurus belly?
B-E-L-L-I.
I wonder if it like scratches there.
Irvinesis?
Probably named for a guy named Irving.
Chasmosaurus, ooh. This one's interesting. Chasmosaurus, and then in parenthesis, Pentaceratops equals Agujaceratops.
Oh, yeah, I know that one. Gujaceratops? Actually, Agujaceratops, is it A-G-U-J-A-ceratops?
A-G-U-J-A, yeah.
That is the species in Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom that's the skull that the Indoraptor gets pierced on. It's not a Triceratops skull.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, isn't it cool when they do that? I love that. So, all right, let's see. Here's Chasmosaurus belly, originally Monoclonius belly. Remember Monoclonius?
Monoclonius.
I remember hearing about that in, like, an old dinosaur books.
I don't.
Yeah, but now it's like a dubious genus. Anyways, Chasmosaurus russelli. And Chasmosaurus irvinensis. But yeah, some of these other ones, according to Wikipedia here, which again is always a reliable source, there's only three species of Chasmosaurus right now. So,
oh, which ones are they again?
Belly, russelli, and irvinensis.
Okay, irvinensis. So it looks like the there are a couple that may have been reassigned to Pentaceratops or disputed with Pentaceratops or some such.
Okay, well, who knows?
And I'm not seeing Mojoceratops.
Mojoceratops.
I'm not seeing Mojoceratops in...
When was Mojoceratops described? Hold on, it was after 2010. I just love the name Mojoceratops. Again, it makes me think of Austin Powers.
Oh, God.
Loses his mojo.
I've lost my mojo! Golly, such a ridiculous movie.
Of course it is. All right, so where the heck is Mojoceratops? Okay, I just Googled Mojoceratops on Wikipedia, and it redirected me to the Chasmosaurus page. It's like when I try to search Draco Rex and Stiggy Mock, and it's like, do you mean Bacchus? Like, no, I don't. Watch. I'm going to do this just to further piss myself off. Draco Rex.
Draco Rex Hogwartsia.
Pachycephalosaurus.
Damn you, John Horner.
No, it is Jack Horner.
Jack.
Wait. Yeah, it is. John Horner is the composer.
Oh, no, I like him. I said the wrong
name. Or no, that's James Horner. I apologize. Who's John Horner?
I think Jack Horner's real name is John. He just goes by Jack Horner.
Okay. You know, Jack Horner seems like a nice guy. I've seen him in, like, others. He's on the Alien Planet, right? That, like, documentary about, like, back in the... Yeah. Jack Horner's in it, briefly. He's one of the talking heads.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so...
Didn't you say he's the arch-nemesis of the show?
He is the arch-nemesis of the show. He's the one that's like, oh, T-Rex was a scavenger, right? Triceratops is just baby
Torosaur. Yeah, no.
I talked about that in the Triceratops episode. It was like, according to him, like, two animals can't be the same. There's no such thing as dolphins. They're just sub-adult whales. There's no such thing as go-karts. They're sub-adult Ferraris.
Right, that's basically what he would say. Sub-adult Ferraris.
Anyways, Chasmosaurus. One thing to end it on, though, like, it had a big head even for a Ceratopsian, but its horns were quite short, and that coupled with the huge gaping holes in its skull meant it probably didn't use its massive head ornaments for any defensive purposes. It would have been shattered real easily, and those horns didn't really go that far. So thus... As we're really starting to believe with a lot of the Ceratopsians, they used to use its frill and horns for display instead of, like, waving it around either to, like, impress females or to, like, make it look bigger to predators.
Right, scare off predators.
Scare them off, yeah. So, yeah, but that's Chasmosaurus. Pretty cool, right? I mean, I think so, but what do I know?
I think it's a pretty cool, he's pretty solid.
And yeah.
Like you said, he's gotten around a lot for a dino that's not well known.
Let's rate Chasmosaurus 1 out of 65 million. I got, like, a 47 million, I think. I don't know.
I was actually thinking 48.
Oh, wow. We're in sync, man.
We're pretty close. Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, he's pretty cool. He's not, you know.
I think it's really cool that it has such a big head but such teeny tiny horns. It's weird.
Yeah.
And they're all the same length, too, you know? Like, they're all, like, the same.
So, unless something really got close, they wouldn't be really good for ramming.
No. Again, like, even if it did ram, again, those fenestrae or hole thingies are so wide that just
the crest would be very fragile.
So
in Prehysteria, when Hammer tries to ram the door to get out and bounces off of it, he wouldn't have bounced off. He actually would have hurt himself.
Yeah. Well, it's like they think, like, all the cool things are things they can do. It turns out they couldn't do. Like the Pachycephalosaurus, like, they're like, oh, they actually couldn't. I mean, they could, you know, ram their sides. They couldn't ram each other's heads because of their neck bones or whatever.
I think it was Robert Backer I saw on TV. He said Pachycephalosaurus could butt heads once because they would both
that's true.
Injure each other.
See, Robert Backer, he's the cool one. He's the cool Jack Horner.
I've actually met him. He's an amazing
guy. He's so cool, and I love Raptor
Red.
He's
weird, too, in the best possible way.
I love that, too. Raptor Red's a great book. I'd like to see Jack Horner write a Raptor Red-like book.
Right?
I mean, maybe he has, I don't know. But...
He's written technical books. He hasn't done
Where's your imagination, Jack Horner?
Oh, it goes into unusual places that upend the scientific community.
Yeah. Again, good on him. He's trying to keep science from being stable, I guess. But to throw in wrenches in it. But I mean, it's not great, though.
I'm sorry. When you say Pachycephalosaurus and Dracorex are the same species...
I mean... spikes, but people are like, oh, but they're anamorphic. Like the spikes, the material from the spikes gets transferred into the head dome. I'm like, okay, name one other animal that does that. Like, if you can name an animal that does that, then you're onto something.
I suppose, you know, we do have frogs that go from tadpoles to.
Well, that's a whole blown metamorphosis.
Right. So like, unless you're suggesting that pachycephalosaurids go through a bizarre metamorphosis of their entire skull,
yeah,
which is really weird.
Just their skull, too.
Pterosaur, whatever.
Anyways, that's nothing to do with Chasmosaurus. Or Jack Horner, who had nothing to do with Chasmosaurus.
We keep getting on to him, apparently.
Jack Horner! Not to be confused with James Horner, may he rest in peace. Because of that plane crash. What are the Avatar sequels going to sound like with his music gone?
Who's the composer,
do you think?
I looked it up, and I don't know his name, but apparently he... did some of the music along with
a lot of those movies do have like sub composers
he was like the sub composer
yeah.
He stepped up to full
good okay so it's not like just some
it's
other
gonna
guy
sound it's gonna sound
similar
cool
yeah okay
better.
Cool. Anyways, all right. Well, that's it for this week. If you want to get a hold of the show, you can contact us at mattsd@matthewdonandcreator.com for your general questions to either co-host. You can follow me on social media at Matthew Don Creator on Facebook, at Matthew Don 64 on Twitter, and Matthew Don 64 on Instagram. I have a book series on Amazon, Megazook, available for print and Kindle. Surely somewhere I put a Chasmosaurus in there as a background character, but I don't remember. I was too busy with my Diablo Ceratopses, I guess. I did a Korea Ceratops once. I remember looking through Primeval Power, and like there's a protest going on when they enter Gondwana, and they're like, wait, there's a Korea Ceratops. I'm like, what? Where did I use that? Cool. Sometimes I'm putting in these things, I'm like, why did I put that in there? I mean, cool.
You should have. That would have been perfect.
Luso Titan, one of the opening of the dinosaurs that are coming out of the portal. One of them is a Luso Titan. I'm like, and I look it through and I was like, what's a Luso Titan? How did I know that?
You must have picked it up somewhere.
I guess. I'm just like, cool. Anyways, what have you got to plug, though?
So, yes, I have a science fiction novelette called The Spark.
Yes.
It's available through Heareth Publishing, and you can find more information on that and my other short stories and poems on my website, stephencurrow.com. That's Stephen spelled with a P-H, a C in the middle, and then Curro, C-U-R-R-O.
So Stephen Currow.
Yes.
Sorry, I know it's just confusing the people. I'm going to stop saying that.
I know. Like, if I just say Stephen C. Currow, I know someone's going to get confused, so I have to explain.
Yes, of course. Okay. All right. Sounds good. I also have another podcast called The Writ Wit, where two twits talk about writing. Otherwise, that's it for this week. It's the end of every episode of Paleobites. Darn you, Jack Horner.
Curse you, Horner.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.